In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to tell you two things today. One is the most beautiful truth for man in the universe. It's inexplicable. It cannot be understood. It cannot be grasped. And yet, there it is. The other is also inexplicable, but unfortunately, we can grasp it because of the proof of our own experience. The first is what St. Paul talks about in the epistle today. Let's discuss first the first truth of the universe that directly impacts this first thing that I want to share. The seminal truth of the universe is that God is. He is totally self-sufficient. He's completely unknowable to anyone unless he chooses to be knowable. He created all things. And in him, all things consist. Man is too small to even know that God exists. Man is unable to understand anything about God, much less act like him. But God, who created all things and is not bounded by anything, he can do anything. So, since God is love, he chose to make us in order to give himself to us. He alone is capable of not only creating and maintaining life, but also making that life to know that he exists. So the first great truth that I want to tell you is that God has made himself known to man because he loves man. Since he made man in his image, he made him capable of even being united to himself. We will talk about the epistle in a moment. But first, I want to tell you the second unfortunate truth. Man, even though he is given great things by God, and is made in God's image, and will someday be higher than the angels, and be able to inquire into things that the angels dare not even think about, this same man, you and me, forgets God, is not thankful, and lives in a worldly, and sometimes even an unclean way. The gospel talks about this truth, and it describes when it describes the healing of the 10 lepers. And only one leper came back to give thanks to God. Let's talk a little bit about Jesus Christ and how Paul describes this first truth, that God, by the force of his will and through the incarnation, makes man able to partake of his nature. The apostle tells us that we will be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's theosis. That's being filled with God and being in God. That's being united to God. And the apostle also says he has delivered us from the power of darkness. This is because of his dear Son. Man can know God and be united with God and become like God only because God has become man. The apostle tells us that we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This is much more than just God choosing to not punish us. This is the God-man, because he is also man, making every man capable of obliterating the sin that abides with him, within him, that darkness. So far, the things the apostle has said are at least understandable in some way to everybody. But then the apostle, as is his habit, speaks of things that are so high and so wondrous that only those who are purified can understand them. Therefore, we're impure, so we cannot understand them in their essence. But we should speak of them. We should meditate on them. And they should inspire us to be like that leper that was a Samaritan, and he came to thank God for all things. The apostle tells us that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. These are high words, impossible to understand, but in a crude way, we can attempt to explain them. In another place, Jesus Christ said that he who has seen him has seen the Father. Since Jesus is as much God as the Father is, to see Jesus is to see the Father. The words firstborn of every creature are very mysterious. in three ways, Jesus Christ is firstborn. He was eternally born of the Father. We call this, in the symbol of faith, only begotten of the Father before all ages. His was a birth, if you can use such an impoverished word to describe God, that was not a beginning, but rather a being. At all times, Jesus Christ is and was the Son of the Father. The second way in which Jesus is firstborn is that he is the first and the last. To be born of a virgin without the seed of man and to become a God-man. The third way in which Jesus is firstborn is that he is the first, and because of his will, the first of many, that died and will rise again with a perfected human body and a perfected human soul. The apostle tells us other remarkable things. By him all things were created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible. Then he describes four of the ranks of the angelic host, invisible to us, but plainly visible to him. The thrones, the dominions, the principalities, and the powers. To be created by God and to be destined to be higher than all created things, even the great and terrible angels, is such a gift that man should never forget and always live his life according to this great truth. The selection we read from the apostle finishes with him telling us that Jesus Christ is before all things, and in him all things consist, and he is the head of the body of the church. All of these words of the apostle really, in their totality, tell us the entire gospel. That is the good news, because gospel means good news. So let's see two reactions to this good news. Entering a certain village, the Lord encountered 10 lepers. Leprosy is known today by the name Hansen's disease. It's an infection that causes the flesh to get snowy white and eventually to fall off. Lepers would commonly lose their fingers, their toes, their noses, their ears, and other parts of their flesh. It is a terrible affliction. Even to this day, in places where antibiotics are not available, it's easily treated with antibiotics. Those that had leprosy were considered to be unclean. And according to the Jews' crude understanding and cruel understanding, to be incapable of being in God's presence and to be cursed by God. So these cursed men cried out to God, "Lord Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." The Lord was merciful and he healed all of them. It's instructive for us to understand that these 10 men did two very good things. Everybody does good things, but very few people do enough good things. First of all, they cried out to the Lord for mercy. This prayer sounds very much like the Jesus prayer. And so we cry out to God for mercy with the Jesus prayer. You should say the Jesus prayer. Another good thing that they did was that they were obedient to Jesus when he gave them a very peculiar command. He told them to go wash, but he didn't heal them first. The Old Testament was very strict about lepers and gave instructions for a leper who was healed that he must go to the priest, be examined, and have various washings and purifications. Then he is free to re-enter society and is no longer considered to be cursed. But the healing has to occur before the inspection. Jesus sent them out for inspection before their healing, but they were obedient, and they went. We have a saying in the church, preserved by our monastics, that first is obedience, then understanding. We modern secular people, we try to reverse this. There are many things that we should do. We might not understand why, but we should do them, because they are right to do. There are many things we don't understand. We will never understand holy things without obedience first. It's important to emphasize this. Even though only one leper received full healing, all of them did things that are good. The ones who were not fully healed were undone by their forgetfulness and their indifference. It's also important to understand that the one who went back to God and was fully healed, the Lord said only of him that his faith made him whole, was a Samaritan. A Samaritan was considered to be the most unclean of men by the Jews. Even a Samaritan without leprosy would be considered to be unclean. And yet this unclean man was full of thanks And his soul told him that he needed to go back not to mortal priests, but to the high priest and give thanks and worship him. It's very easy, brothers and sisters, to do some good things. It's easy to pray for a little while. It's easy to struggle in the Christian life for a little while, or even maybe a long while. It's very difficult to do these things all the way to the end of our life. That's why the scriptures tell us, he who endures to the end will be saved. This is a terrible, frightening thing to know. The apostles ask regarding things like this, who then can be saved? The Lord answered that with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So how is our salvation possible even though we are unclean and like lepers or like the blind or like the paralytics? Our salvation is possible because of God, but we must be partakers of that salvation. It's not a passive experience. We are lepers, to be sure. There's much in us that is unclean, and yet God has healed us and is healing us. Which are we? Are we the nine, or are we the one? The scriptures tell us how we can become the one. We can be among the few that travel the narrow road. The nine traveled the wide road, and they were not healed. They were not more unclean than the one who was totally healed and came back to Christ. The virtue they lacked was thankfulness. Thankfulness is an energy in the soul that brings the soul close to God. It doesn't matter if the soul is pure or is unclean. If there is thankfulness, the soul will find its way to God. The soul will know God because God speaks to the soul. This is the secret to living a triumphant Christian life. Thankfulness. Of course, thankfulness is not something that exists only by itself, without power, such as a form letter to someone that says thank you for something. Thankfulness is what makes a man desire to obey God in all things, and to follow the commandments. Thankfulness is what makes a man draw near to God even when he's sinned, because he's been near to God before and he knows God will receive him again. Thankfulness and its sister remembrance guards the soul against sin. If you read the scriptures carefully and with understanding, even if you're a sinner, even if you're a great sinner, you should become very confident. God receives the unclean. And those that recognize this and give thanks to him and order their life according to this thanksgiving, only those are healed. We need not bring any ability to God in order to be able to pass his test. We only need to bring a thankful heart. Such a heart God can and will enter. And where God is, there is life. And there's light, and impurity and darkness and sin are burned away. Are you a thankful person? Or do you complain a lot? If you're a thankful person, you will struggle to follow the commandments because you love God and because you remember what he's done for you. And the things in your life that seem big to you now, they'll be pretty small compared to the beautiful things that the apostle has said about our redemption today. If you are a sinner, then practice being more thankful. You'll become less of a sinner. May God help us. Amen.